yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Oh, my soul. All right, 1 Kings chapter 17, I shall return tonight. I want to say there's a couple of things that we should be mindful of. Up until this time, Elijah's life had been all the things maybe that he had hoped. When you have victory, it's an exciting time. And then when you come to a point or a place in life that you are uncertain or unsure, and there's a change of venue, it can make you very uncomfortable. If you will permit me, I'd like, for the sake of trying to find a better word, to use that one as a springboard tonight. I think that the brook was in the beginning a very uncomfortable place for Elijah. It was uncomfortable in that Elijah was known for his boisterous and sound, firm ways. He wasn't much on running, but the Lord had him to turn. And when the Lord turns you, sometimes it will do something to you personally that nothing else does. There's a lot of things in life I would have liked to have done a different way. But it was not the Lord's way. And that's a hard one to come to grips with, you know that? I always thought if a man of God was committed to preaching and he gave his life to preaching, that somehow or another the Lord would put him in this golden bubble and he would never be bothered by the demons of hell and he wouldn't be bothered by complications to minister. But that's far from the truth. Elijah's now come to another step in his life. The situation is one that he didn't prefer to have lived in. But in the midst of his uncomfortable situation, he makes a declaration based on God. That's our most profitable turn in life, is coming to the place that what we make a declaration on is based on the Lord. Now I want to say tonight, all that I am or ever hope to be is based on God. I don't have much to offer you in myself. Of course, you can appreciate that if you're far enough down the road and you get far enough away from yourself, you'll find out that it's better off to see the fabric of God than the fabric of man anyway. I'm at my best when I'm anointed from heaven. I give my best counsel when I'm under the breath of God and there's nothing left in me to tell you but what the Lord says. I do believe that's God's way and I do believe that's God's manner for dealing with his people. I want to say tonight that disappointment comes in all shapes and sizes. For Elijah, it is a different turn in the road. He didn't prefer to go, as we know it, to the brook. But God sending him there for reasons unbeknown to Elijah. Now, I'm going to tell you this because I think it's true. Elijah got kind of crossed up a few times. And we know it clearly because he crawled under a juniper tree at one time. And that is a sign of his spirituality. Or should I say his human fabric? I think if we understand what I quoted from James this morning, Elijah was a man of like passion, just like you and me. That means he's made the same way we are. He has feelings. He has concerns about life. He doesn't have all the answers, and when you come to that conclusion in life, it'll make a big difference in how you operate. Elijah was a great example of faith, standing in the midst of wickedness. The truth is, as a child of God, we're living in a world. We're the only light they know when it comes to God. And I don't want you to get the wrong impression. We don't have to shout to get their approval. They don't have to pass laws in the White House for us to win. We've already won the battle. we got a place reserved in the heavens. I don't care the Republicans, the Democrats, nor the Independents are going to interfere with where I'm going to live hereafter. And the Lord Jesus has got that all together. I want to say, first of all, that Elijah boldly declared a message, which it was a divine message that they needed to hear. God's people were going in the wrong direction. And somebody needed to tell them that the judgment of God
is being pronounced on them. I want to say three things about the current of this day that Elijah lived in. First of all, it was a day of great instability and wickedness. Anytime a nation has tremendous instability and wickedness, the judgment of God's coming. I want to tell you something. Just because we're Baptists is not going to keep the wrath of God off of the church. He said judgment must first begin in the house of God. So I want to tell you something. When the Lord begins to tighten the bolts on this country, you and I are going to be affected by it. We may have loved God and served God, but we're going to feel the impact of it all. When that tsunami hit Japan, the wind and the water swept through there and cleaned everything out. Everybody was affected by it. Matter of fact, they tell me that all around the world, what happens if it's an earthquake and things begin to break up and divide, you feel the effects of that all over. Maybe not at the same instance, but it comes at another time. Secondly, it was a day of national tolerance. Now, I want to bring this closer home than most people feel comfortable about it. I believe if there ever was something that seems to indicate the temperature of America today, it's tolerance. Everything is tolerated. And the downside to all of that is that the church has become tolerant. We're trying to make it easy for people to keep doing what they're doing and join up with us. We're trying to make it where they feel comfortable. Let me just let you in on something tonight. I ain't for bottle sucking. I'm here to tell you it's wrecked many of families. It's killed many of churches. There's a lot of things tonight that have brought us to a crippling, humble reality. And we got to come back to where the Lord can help us. We shouldn't tolerate sin. And thirdly, it was a day of divine judgment. I don't want you to take this too hard, but it is my persuasion that the famine coming was the judgment of God. There's no other way that you could see it. You said, now what is that judgment? I was not going to do this initially, but the 17th chapter is where I preached from this morning. I want you to just look on the page left of that. In the 16th chapter, and I want you to consider verse number 30 of the 16th chapter of 1 Kings. Do you see it? The Bible said, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Do you know how critical time was? It was critical enough that God finally said, they have reached the pinnacle of ungodliness. They've now got the greatest torture that their nation has ever seen as far as those 10 tribes know it. I want to tell you something tonight. You ought to beg God for your pastor to live a separated life. Amen. Ought to live holy and clean. I'm talking about just as close to God as he can get. Because you don't need somebody to come in here and stroke you and make you feel good. They need to be so instructed from the scriptures that they can say nothing but what God says in the book. And I want to tell you, that's a trying reality. The greatest obstacles that I've ever had is the fact that it's a struggle to find the words of God to speak to a people that's living in a world in these three dimensions of time when it's a day of great instability and wickedness. The truth is, it's hard to tell it like the Bible tells it nowadays because the world is so far from following it in its footsteps. It's a real trying time. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight in hopes that'll help you. I want to mention two or three things that I think that we touched on as we got started this morning. There were about five things that I think the Lord was interested in us seeing, and really I'll deal maybe with four of them. First of all, we talked about Elijah being a man of courage. When you go talking to the king, you better know it's God directed or you could lose your head. The truth is, because of such a stern message to Ahab, it put a tremendous strain on the prophet. Now, you do know what a prophet is. A prophet is a man, according to the Bible, that is an inspired speaker. He is endowed of God to do a divine work. He ain't working for two and one. He's working for one. He's working for the Lord. He was not only a man of courage, according to verse number one, because the Bible said in Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now, what we've got to consider is the condition that they were in. As the Lord God of Israel liveth. Now, that was a term Ahab could connect with. He may have been in gross darkness. He may have been in deep degradation. But he himself knew what Israel was all about. Have you ever thought about people really knows what the life of a Christian is, but they're just not interested in living it? That's where I really think the man was. And one of the things that pulled him further and further away from right leadership was his wife. Ladies, this is no slam on you. This woman come from a segment of what we call Baal worship, and that sector was a personality of its own. It tells us the temperature of Ahab's desire was to connect with the world and not be so much in contact with God. Someone has said either the world will keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from the world. What we see happening now is that Elijah is standing before the king. And he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. He wanted to pronounce something to Ahab he hadn't heard in a while. Number one, Ahab, God is alive. Now, there's some things, without you being a Hebrew and being a follower of the text, as we know, an Old Testament covenant, you would not understand why he would have coupled Lord and God together. They were two distinct words. They meant two particular things about the same person. And all of a sudden, in spite of where Ahab, y'all still with me? In spite of where Ahab was, he had to come to grips that all of a sudden God wasn't speaking out in the corners of life. God was speaking to him in the face of the nation. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. The White House better get in touch with heaven because there's a storm brewing. There's trouble coming. Now, I want to tell you, we can't afford to go through another 20 or 30 years like we've been through in the last 20 or 30 years. Something needs to turn around. Something needs to happen. And there's only one way that can happen. That is for us to come back to God. Somebody said, I don't believe in national revival, then go back to sleep. God did. God did. Now, here's the problem. The problem that stems, I'm not going to take myself too far out to where I can't connect with you, okay? The people of God got in real trouble because there was a sign of their drifting when they began to see Saul as their leader. When they wanted things in the place of worship like they had in the world around them, and that's all that was, they said with their own mouth, we don't want to be like the other nations. That's what they were after. Now, I want to tell you something. There needs to be enough fortitude, spiritual fortitude, in this church so that when we steer and go in the wrong direction, somebody says, stop. Amen. Now, sometimes that can happen by the preacher, no doubt. But you ought to have enough spiritual endowment in who you are to say, wait a minute, let's don't go that way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think the temperature of the local church has gotten kind of warmed up over time. Yes, and I think she's gotten watered down a lot because, the preacher ought to be the man of God. They didn't know that about that.
That's right, amen.
And I believe some people standing in pulpits that they ain't preachers.
That's exactly right, brother.
Of course, if I didn't believe that, I'd just be wrong. Right? But I'm here to tell you right now, God is speaking directly to Ahab because he's the nation's leader. At least from the perspective of 10 tribes. The Israel means in itself, he will rule. It gives a particular brand to the people that God is in contact with. Not only was he a man of courage, he was a man of conviction. Nothing would help him except for him to say what God wanted him to say. This was awful good. Something needs to happen in our life. Something needs to happen in our church. Something needs to take place in our heart that would make us receptive when God is speaking. I don't know how, after I preached the message like I preached this morning, people couldn't make it back. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. Now, I want to just tell you right now, the day that we're living in is a critical hour. He's a man of conviction. How much of a conviction did he have? He, first of all, had enough of conviction to say exactly what God wanted said. You know, the other night we got in a conversation, and the conversation was initiated in some capacity by myself. I said, there's a day and a time in my life that in my ministry, it will either get on or get it out. It was you going to heaven or you're going to hell, and there ain't no middle ground about it. And they certain things are just very stern about it. And we were talking about how you deliver that message, and Brother Raybon asked me the question. He said, well, why did you change? I said, somebody changed me on how to deliver that message. Yes, you see, I'm still standing by the same book. But in time, you should get enough wisdom that you know when you take that book how to best feed the people that are seated. Amen. For feeding.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, Brother David's probably the only one that really knows. I burned red hot every time I preached, didn't I? I mean, there wasn't no playing about it, was there? If I laughed, it was probably when I got done preaching. I didn't do a whole lot of laughing when I first started. It was life or death. I'm here to tell you, it was just where it was. I can see that Elijah was a man of great courage. He was a man of great conviction. And notice how stable his conviction was. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years. But according to my word, the first thing that Elijah wanted to make very clear to Ahab was, what I'm saying is what God ordered. Amen. See, Ahab knew he was a prophet, right? Amen. You know, used to people respected a man called of God.
They did.
Now, I don't like to say this. If the radio station gets this CD and they start playing it, I've known some preachers that made me ashamed to be a preacher because they were crooks and they wouldn't pay their bills and they talked out of both sides of their mouth and they lied. I ain't a liar, folks. I'm telling you that Elijah was a man of conviction. He said, I want you to understand, first of all, who I represent and the person that I stand before right now. That word for stand is a Hebrew word that means to be employed by. It means to be appointed of. I never forget. You just never know what's wrapped up in a package. Some of these fellows know Ralph Green. Runs a motorcycle shop down there. What is it? 10 and what? 18. And the first time I ever went in Ralph's place of business, I was just kind of looking around, observing everything. And I noticed there's a picture over on this side. If you're standing facing the counter, right on that side. You guys ever seen the picture that's hanging up right there? That's a picture of Ralph. Ralph now has a beard and a ponytail. And in that picture is a photograph of him when he was in service. And guess what? He used to be the person that was in charge of guarding the president. Are you with me?
Yeah, go ahead.
See, if you would walk in that door and look at Ralph, you wouldn't think that, man, he never had nothing to do like that. You can't judge a person by what you see. You don't ever know. And, of course, we talked about it. We discussed it. And you know what? I don't hide who I am. I, honest to God, I don't apologize for being a preacher. I don't apologize for going to heaven. I don't apologize for knowing the person that created everything. He did good when he painted this world. He put everything in the right place at the right time. And I want to say, when it's all said and done and it's all over with, it'll be just the way he intended it. Elijah was a man of great courage. He was a man of great conviction. But I want to step one step deeper tonight. He was a man of great commitment. I would beg you tonight, honest before God, I would beg you to commit your life to Jesus. I don't think that up until these last few years that I would have ever been a man that I would have ever dreamed said that, but I would literally beg you to commit your life to the Lord. Because I know it's the only shield of hope that we've got where we're living. I think it's the only sound element that we can trust in, because when we are connected with the Lord, no matter what is behind us, what happens from this night forward could be a tremendous change or a terrible life to live. Somebody said the other night, said, you know, you didn't even have us to stand and read the scripture. I read my scripture before, just like I did this. So don't think I'm senile and lost my mind. Amen? Some of you look like you could use a little rest. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of courage. He was also a man of commitment. He said, before whom I stand. It not only underlined his appointment. It declared a fight. It clarified his establishment. He didn't decide it. God before ordained it. Now I'll tell you something. People that can commit to that can offer the world a whole lot of stuff. I want to say tonight that I think that what Elijah is doing now is confirming to Ahab his assignment. I want to tell you something tonight, and I thank God for people that helped me. But there's one thing that I have to do in my life to make sure. It's always good if the preacher can run here and visit this one and visit that one. But if it comes between doing that and studying for the service, I'll let the visiting go. I've already worked that out. I will. I will, because it's in the book. It is what I'm supposed to do. But if I can get a message, and it can be laid by, you know, then it sure makes it a whole lot more enjoyable for me to go to the hospital and some of these other places when I know that all that other stuff's took care of.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Isn't that right? Amen. Right. And I will tell you something right now. The people are in them hospitals. They need a word from God.
Amen. Yes, they do.
They need a word from heaven. I want to say that Elijah had to reveal his commitment. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to reveal your commitment. You can't hide it. You can't be satisfied with part-time. It won't work. I mean, you just think, have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about going into work and when you got your paycheck, he only paid you half of what you expected? I mean, that'd make you feel real good, wouldn't it? Huh? I won't forget, there's been a few times I've gone in the bank and cashed a check, and I count my money. I don't know how y'all do. I never leave that counter that I don't count it myself. You say you don't trust people. Call it what you want. I know there's people that are human. I stood at the counter one day after the lady had given me back my money, and I counted it, and I had four $100 bills too much. You said, I know what I've done with that. I'm glad I ain't you.
Amen, preacher.
I immediately took that money, and I said, Madam, count this again for me, would you? As if I made the mistake. And she counted that money, and when she finished counting it, she just stopped and looked straight up at me. She said, oh, thank you so much. As if to say that would have been a terrible thing for me to have to confront when I come to the end of my day.
Yes, sir.
Can I say, when you come to the end of your way, I want to tell you right now, we're living in a time when people are going to make mistakes, when people are going to fall short, and they're going to trip themselves, and sometimes they'll be tripped by others. But we need to be a people of commitment no matter what happens. He said, it shall not, listen now, there shall not be dew nor rain. I made reference once before. The rain was that great abundance of grace falling onto the ground. But dew is that portion that happens between the rains in the overnights that refreshes the parched. See, I think that by now Elijah's trying to say, you've been used to all the multiple blessings.
Yes, sir.
You're going to get down to where you're going to smell the dust.
That's right, brother.
Now, while this is the message and Elijah is pronouncing it, don't you think for 1 minute that he don't have to consider what kind of an impact it's going to have on him? You know, I've heard preachers preach about judgment as if they wasn't going to be involved in it. Have you ever heard that? I live in this country, ladies and gentlemen. For me to stand up and blabber out every service, the judgment of God, the judgment of God, the judgment of God, do you think I want to hear that? Don't you think we would be better off to run to Jesus and connect and commit with Jesus and be people of courage and be people of conviction? I want to tell you, that's where Elijah was. He wanted them to understand that he was employed of God. He was appointed of God. He was established by God. He was confirmed by God. And that he was serving God without apology. Now, he said, but according to my word. The prophet was a man that was endowed to speak God's word or to speak God's will before the people. If you would, he was the go-between between God and man. I'm headed somewhere with this. In the Old Testament, you could have never valued the prophet with any higher accreditation than to have said he was God's man. And he benefited God's people.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how much you think of your preacher tonight. I know most of what you tell me. I know kind of what you think about me based on your own words. But I want to tell you something. If there ever has been an appreciative thought in the minds and hearts of people, it ought to be to have something that God's put his hand on and the Lord's working with.
Yes, sir, preacher. Amen.
I mean, I'm just glad God didn't throw me in the garbage.
Amen. Hey, I am too, preacher.
I'm glad he's working with me and he's working on me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether you thought about this today or not, but your preacher ain't got it all together. But he serves one that has.
Amen.
You know?
God bless you. Amen.
Hey, I can see now he is a man of courage. He is a man of conviction. He is a man of confidence. He is a man of commitment. But I don't say fourthly, he is a man of confidence.
Amen.
Bible said in verse number 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself. He just told Ahab, Ahab, judgments are coming. There won't be dew nor rain. And all of a sudden God says, okay, Elijah, get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Where are we going, Lord? You just listen. Get out of here.
Yes, sir.
And then he gives him instructions.
Amen.
He gives him just enough instructions. I want to say, first of all, his profession blessed him. As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. Mm-hmm. I know that's right. His profession blessed him. His position held him accountable. He said, whom I serve. Thirdly, his prayers benefited him.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse number 2 that the word of the Lord came unto him saying, there were two or three things that we must be mindful of when we look at this word. First of all, we've got to remember that God was counseling Elijah. Elijah didn't have nothing until God talked to him. Y'all still with me, right? There's some things you don't need to shout out. You just need to walk through. That's where we're at right here. He said the word of the Lord came. The word of God was God's communication. It was God's decree. It was clear that the word of God was a counsel that was needed. Now there's two things that we ought to be mindful of. First of all, the word of God is always committed with purpose. It is. It is the word that breaks the grip of time. And this is what it says. You know, some things you got to have a certified copy of. I wasn't raised here. A couple of times I had to have things like to get a passport. You got to have a birth certificate. And when you send something to the White House, they won't let you buy it with just saying, well, I was born in Dillon down there. No, that ain't good enough. I want you to validate for me when you were born and where you were born. Now watch this. And to whom?
Yes, sir.
Were you born? This is good stuff. Hey, Elijah took great pride in the fact that the Lord was working behind the scene by appointment, by certification, by declaration, but I want to say fourthly, by promise. Amen. Now watch verse 3. He said, get thee hence. That word means get up and get out. Now, there's really one major reason that God told him this, but I believe it's twofold after I've tracked it. Number one is God knew that Ahab and Jezebel was going to turn on Elijah. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Now, you know the hardest thing for us to deal with is when people supposedly of the same walk of life turn on us. It always hurts the most.
Yes, sir, it does.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I've got my little South Carolina thoughts about it. I think that Ahab may have thought a little different had he not been in such gross darkness. But his life was not a life of devotion to God. So he wasn't spending time with the Lord. If you don't have any time that you can get out your Bible and let the Scripture speak to you, you're really missing good days.
That's right. Amen. Yes,
you're missing. Amen. You're missing some wonderful stuff. Do you think that I can just go wiggle my nose and all this come together?
No, brother. Uh-uh.
Just, I wished I had that, but I don't have. Amen. I can see that it was a place of God's planning, but now I can see it was a place of God's protection. He said, Elijah, get up and get out of here. And I know if that had been me, I wouldn't have been near as spiritual as Elijah. I said, why? You know, Lord, I mean, I just give a message, and God, I stood before him, and I don't know what happened, but out of my mouth, I just told Ahab that it's not going to rain or there won't be any dew. Does that mean I'm going to die? But you know, that wasn't part of the conversation. How do you get around that? Ain't but one way. He's living by faith. Right? I can see now he's a man of confidence. Let me tell you something. I don't care what nobody tells you. If God ever tells you something, stand on it.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care. I've had people tell me they don't believe in this and they don't believe in that. That don't matter. That don't matter. That don't matter. If I get in this book and it tells me how it is, you can't talk me out of it.
Amen.
Oh, I know that's right. He said, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself. Why, after a man just made his biggest show, would he want to crawl in a hole? I
I wished I had another gallon of that. It's just so good. I'm not really all that dry, but it tastes so good. What I can see happening now is I can see that the hidden puzzles in Elijah's life have all been a part of his conviction, have all been a part of his courage, have all been a part of his commitment, have all now become a part of his confidence, because it was the place of God's planning, because it was the place of God's protection. Amen. He said, first of all, get. I get a great deal of encouragement when I study words. The first thing that word get describes to me is the thoughts of departure. If you're going to make a trip around the world, they'll give you a ticket. When they issue you a ticket, they'll say your departure time is such and such a date at such and such a time, and you need to arrive early. Most Baptists don't have that in their vocabulary. Arrive early. I know that's the only time most Baptists will be early is if they said that they won $1 million and they're there to pick the check up.
Go ahead.
What I'm simply saying is now that in Elijah's day of protection, it is a sign that God wanted him to depart. But it's also a second sign that God wanted him to pursue. He baited Elijah. He had just enough put in Elijah that Elijah wanted to be wherever God was. And God never told him a lie. God never told him nothing that he didn't intend to create an enthusiasm about doing something with it. Get not only described departure, it defined pursuit. Now let me paint you a picture from these Old Testament patriarchs. I mean, we've had a good time today anyway, right? Amen. You recall a man named Abram?
Yes, sir.
Amen. He leaves a little place of Ur, or the Chaldees, yeah, which is a heathen environment, by the way.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm also amazed that in the beginning of his pilgrimage, that the prophet Habakkuk, the latter portion of your Old Testament, is weeping before God and asking the Lord for his hand and then fussing about the Chaldeans going to judge the people. And he comes from the... And you said, what's that got to do with anything? We never know what God's starting way back on here. Abraham said that he didn't know where he was going, but he did know that he was going for God. You can imagine when he walked in to talk to his daddy that day, and he said, "Daddy, I'm leaving." And what do you mean you're leaving? Well, you know, it's one thing if your kids tell you they're checking out. If they're not running with God, you better caution that, because there could be great judgment.
That's right, preacher. Yes, sir.
He said he was looking for a city. He didn't find it where he's living. Wasn't nothing of created interest back there. He had all the things that you would want. You know, he had the farm, he had the family, and he had the fortune.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. But what he really needed, he couldn't find back here, and that was faith. No, you wait a minute. Read your Bible. The Bible said that he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith on so many levels from the very start when he started seeking God. And every time he thought he got it figured out, the Lord put one more curve in it. He said, "Abram, I want you to take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and take him to Mount Moriah."
I'll show you. Yes, sir.
And I want to tell you, it's a sign of faith for Abraham.
Yes,
took that boy. You know, he started out with a group. But when he got to the mountain, he said, "You wait right here.
Yes, sir.
Me and the lad, we going yonder to do what? Oh, Lord God." Now, let me tell you something different about Hebrew than it is about this Western culture. Hebrew knew to have worship, you've got to have shedding of blood. Do you hear what I'm telling you?
You say, well, why do you make such a big thing about Jesus? Because it's all about Jesus shedding his blood. It's all about Calvary, washing away our sin, paying the debt that we could never pay so you and I could enjoy the things of God. What has happened to the preacher?
He's now learning what it's like to be a man of conviction, a man of courage, a man of commitment, and now a man of confidence. I don't know what's in tomorrow, but one thing I do know God is in charge of it. I know we come to the close of the service, but this was a place of planning. There was also a place of protection. And he said, get thee hence. Turn thee eastward. And hide. I'm going to give you this, and I don't have time to develop it, and I'm a little bit cautious about it. But the word turn is a very interesting word. It's a word that describes being prepared or drawing or having respect to. I think now it's come time for Elijah to find out if he's really interested in doing what God tells him. You say, well, how do you know he was interested? I think there's a couple of reasons we can know. Number one, his life's at stake. I want to tell you what will really make you make a decision in a hurry when your life's at stake. Is that right? You don't know what's going on inside. You don't really know. I mean, the truth is, sometimes they don't know. The doctors. And so you're perplexed about it all. He said, I want you to turn. And then he said, I want you to hide. Now that word for hide means two things. One, it means to conceal. The other, it means to stay close. Hey, I like that. Now, I might be from South Carolina, but you ain't deducting 50 points from my IQ just because I was born in Dillon.
No, sir.
Go ahead, bro. Do you understand even in the Old Testament, God was saying, I'm concealing you. That means I'm hiding you.
Yes, sir.
You with me? Oh, Lord. Oh, Elijah just found a new me. He said, I'm going to keep you close. Elijah, you're going to wind up a missing, but I'm going to keep you close. Just keep close, son.
Amen.
I said I was quitting. I've lied again. And the Bible said, he said, hide thyself by the brook chair. That is before Jordan. And thou shalt, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. It was not only a place of planning and a place of protection, it was a place of provision. If you'll just do what God says, when God says do it, don't you worry about the check. It's already waiting on you. He's put his name on it.
Amen.
Now, when somebody asks what's happened to the preacher, well, I tell you what's happened to him. God's made him a man of conviction. He's made him a man of courage. He's made him a man of commitment. And now he's making him a man of confidence.
Yes, sir.
Well, if we've ever needed confidence in the local church, we need it now. When our teachers come in here with a Sunday school lesson, they need to be confident that God's the one leading, God's the one directing, God's the one guiding.
Amen.
When our preacher comes to this little piece of wood and he stands to preach, he needs to know that God's the one directing.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I've done a lot of stuff. The truth is, it's so hot in here right now for me, I can't hardly breathe. But I bore it. Just so you'll sit there and listen to me. And when I get done and I get to the house, I'll be so glad to get this garbo off me. I want to tell you something. May we be where Elijah was, in close proximity, doing the Lord's will.
Amen.
Hearing the Lord's voice. Amen. Seeing the Lord's power. Don't have time to develop it, but you take my word for it. It will preach. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for volumes of hope and understanding. Thank you for caring for us in that we sometimes don't know how, without question, to care for ourselves. I pray that somehow or another what these people have heard in this room tonight would go forward in their heart and grow and sprout as flowers of hope and encouragement. Do for them that you know is most needful. And then when we have done our all, may they sit back and see how you work. Give us a good week as we make our travels. Give us safety. Give us confidence. Help us to be people of conviction. And then if God permits us with grace to see the middle portion of the week, give us what we need so we can return and come back to fellowship around the throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I thank you tonight for